The comments heard on The View from a Pew are those of Mac McCoy and are not necessarily the opinions of his guests, his producer Garth, any one particular denomination or religion, the church lady, Mr. Lemke, Pastor Craig, or anyone else of sound mind and body. Now, here is today's The View from a Pew, heard all around the world on YouTube. Just search for The View from a Pew.
And good afternoon or morning, wherever it is on this beautiful, beautiful spring day. This is The View from a Pew, a daily radio and webcast program talking about the most important relationship you have in your life. No, it's not with your spouse or your parents or your children. It's the one that supersedes but includes all of those relationships, and that's with our Savior Jesus Christ. And as always, I've got alumnus of the Dallas Theological Seminar, Theo, with me as we continue through week 72 of the Book of Romans. And as I always like to ask, this is like Ed McMahon going, "Here's Johnny." I always say, "What's the big idea?"
Okay, Mac, the big idea of the day for week 72 is we justified believers groan while patiently and anxiously awaiting our heavenly redeemed bodies. Let's pray and review. Thank you, Lord, that we can be together today to study the book of Romans. Considering where we are in Christ, may we understand that we justified believers groan while patiently and anxiously awaiting our heavenly redeemed bodies. Thank you for the gospel, the good news. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He rose on the third day according to the scriptures. In that process, he gave us the free gift of salvation through faith only. And now, may everything we say and do be honoring to you. In your name we pray. Amen. So last week we reviewed Romans 8:20 through 21. This week we move on to Romans 8:22 through 23. The last few weeks leading up to Romans 8:22 through 23, we have discussed the contrast between those who are according to the flesh, the unjustified, and those who are according to the Spirit, the justified, and adopted children and heirs of God, in verses Romans 8:4 through 18. These in-the-flesh people are contrasted with the justified in-the-Spirit people, that is, those who have had the righteousness, the perfect law-keeping of Christ, credited or imputed to them through faith. Romans 8:4. We have learned, according to Romans 8:8, that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We have seen that the true test of whether a person is a justified believer is whether they are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8:9. In Romans 8:14 through 15, adoptive son status is conferred on justified believers. Then we looked at verses 8:17 through 18 that read, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." According to Romans commentator Chuck Swindoll, we justified believers, quote, "will share inheritance with Christ of everything that is due to Christ himself, except worship itself." So what about the suffering language? We have seen that the sanctification which follows justification involves suffering. Though the suffering is unpleasant at present, that unpleasantness does not begin to compare with the glory that we will share with Christ as inheritors of his kingdom. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Romans 8:19, which states, "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." There is a great amount of varied discussion among Romans commentators as to the meaning of this verse. To me, Paul has now inserted a poetic verse to help us understand better and maybe even emotionally feel the contrast between our present suffering and the glory that is to be revealed to us, as stated in verse 18. The word creation is used in verse 19 to figuratively express a cosmic, personified anxiety. Paul then, at the end of the verse, uses the expression, quote, revealing of the sons of God, close quote, to symbolize the future second coming of Christ and manifested perceptibility of justified believers in their redeemed bodies that we will discuss later in our study today from Romans 8:23. Last week we looked at Romans 8:20, which reads, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Again, we see the word creation being discussed to explain why creation was poetically personified in the prior verse with the human characteristics of anxious longing and eager waiting. This verse tells us about Genesis 3:17 through 19, when God cursed the creation following Adam and Eve's fall. Optimistically, this language in verse 20 is followed by the idea of hope that the creation will be set free from its slavery to corruption. In verse 21, it says that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Again, we see optimism for creation surrounding the glorification of the children of God, who we know from prior verses are the justified believers. We know this will happen when Christ returns. Next, let's read our new verse for the week, Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. This theme of groaning has been developed since we saw the comparison between the justified believer's suffering compared to God's glory in Romans 8:18. Unfortunately, according to Romans 8:20 through 21, we justified believers still presently experience the curse of futility and slavery to corruption that was leveled on humans and the whole creation in Genesis chapter 3. Romans 8:19 poetically describes the justified believers' anxious longing and eager waiting for the return of Christ, when the curses will be set aside for justified believers and the creation, and we Christians will be revealed to all those around us. Today's verse continues this theme of groaning by justified believers. Here the groaning is analogized to a woman's pain in childbirth. The pain is excruciating while it is occurring. It tends to inflow, heading towards transition, where the baby can be delivered. Then, the greatest miracle occurs with the initiation of a new, independent life that can fill its lungs with the breath of life. This is analogous to the glory that will be revealed to us in Romans 8:18. By analogy, the pain experienced during childbirth is not worthy to be compared with the glory of the new independent baby's life which has been created. Now, since I'm a guy, it may sound easy for me to make a statement like this, since I have never delivered a baby. And my hat goes off to every woman who has experienced the pains of childbirth. All I can say is that I, too, have experienced excruciating physical pain in my body that lasted for weeks. During that time, I got to know God at a more deeply personal level. According to John 17:3, I was then experiencing eternal life, which is to know God and know His Son. In a way, Our human suffering, physical, emotional, or relational, gives us opportunities to know God that we would not otherwise experience. That is a reason for joy. So, though we are groaning, we are getting to know God better through the tribulation. This brings us to our next new verse of the week. Romans 8:23 reads as follows, "And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body." Here, Paul reminds us justified believers that we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. He calls it, quote, having the first fruits of the Spirit. First fruits uses the idea taken from the Old Testament that God's people should thankfully give the first and the best of the harvest to God. This was done in part to celebrate the remaining bountiful harvest brought on by the blessings of God. Exodus 23:19 and Leviticus 23:9-14 discuss this, quote, first fruits, end quote, offering. The first fruits offering was made annually at about the beginning of the barley harvest, right after the Passover. Here, in this verse also, we are given the idea of the blessings and prosperity that will follow the gift of the Holy Spirit to justified believers. Yet, we justified believers know that the full blessings and prosperity will come with the second coming of Christ. As a result, according to this verse, we revisit the idea that we groan, eagerly awaiting our full and complete adoption as children of God, mentioned earlier in Romans 8:14-15. When this adoption occurs, the verse tells us that we will then receive our redeemed bodies. These are bodies that will be made apparent to all around us, according to Romans 8:19, where he calls it the revealing of the sons of God. These will be resurrected bodies. It is important to note, then, that in heaven, justified believers will have tangible bodies. This is in contradistinction to the idea that our heavenly bodies will be wispy, cloud-like manifestations. So with that, Mac, let's restate the big idea. We justified believers groan while patiently and anxiously awaiting our heavenly redeemed bodies. There we are, Mac.
All right, CEO, I appreciate you being here today. Thank you very much. Next week, week 73, and we're barely past chapter 8. We appreciate Theo coming on. He's an alumnus of the Dallas Theological Seminary. And we're brought to you by the good folks at DivineTruthChristian.com. Anything you want, anything you need, check them out on the net and then order. Thanks for listening. Divine.